Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Hey, so we are starting this series called Hope Revived, which I'm excited about. I realize now I could have labeled this series Don't Park Here, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, because hope and getting stuck really go hand in hand. And how many know that you need hope to get out of being stuck, yeah. Right? I shared this a while back. It might have been a year ago, so there's people that probably didn't hear it. This remarkable study done by Harvard, somebody in Harvard, where they took rats and they put them in water. I don't know who would be a rat lover, but forgive me if you like animals and this. Anyway, they put them in water and they wanted to see how long they would last for. They lasted for 15 minutes before they would start to drown. So they would pick them up out of the water before they drowned. It's all good. They would let them rest. So they lasted 15 minutes. They'd let them rest. They would give them some food. Then they put them back in the water. I know, it's terrible. This is how they do experiments. Just be thankful it wasn't you. Here's the crazy thing. How long did they last the second time?
Longer.
How long?
18.
You think maybe, 18 minutes. 60 hours.
What?
It's true. 60 hours. The only thing that they could figure out was the difference is the first time they were given hope. So the second time they remembered that hope could be coming, so they kept swimming.
Wow.
One thing that was different. Nothing else was different except for the possibility of hope. It is huge. So you think about a society when hope is removed. Now, I believe there's always hope, but often we remove hope. Even the church, the church baffles me sometimes because we want to see people get saved and come into hope, and then we tell them the world's going to end. There's not a lot of hope in that, right? Hey, it's great. You should come to church. We're going to tell you how you're going to die. We're not like that here. We love hope. We actually want to be a hope-filled church. So I want to go over a definition with you before we jump in. So I was going to have somebody else change it, but I guess that's my job now. This is a definition of hope. Hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. So think about those rats, right? The first time, they had no hope. They thought, this is it. I'm going to die. But the second time, they had a confident expectation that hope was coming. Pretty cool. And then it's an overall optimistic attitude about the future based on the goodness and promises of God. Optimistic attitude about the future. I think of some of the stories. I'm not going to go into details with these stories, but how many have seen the movie? Trying to remember how many hours it was of the rock climber that got stuck by himself. He got his arm stuck in a rock. What is it? 127 hours. And do you remember what it was that got him through that? How many saw the movie or heard the story? So briefly, it's a gentleman that goes rock climbing by himself. He does it all the time, but he slides into a cavern and this rock falls on his arm. And so it's like the chance of getting out is impossible. If I remember correctly, I hope this is the true part of the story. I think he has a dream or a vision about his future son. Does that ring a bell? Anybody remember it? All right, we'll just go with that then. But I'm pretty sure it's either he has a son or a future son, and he dreams of this son, and that keeps him going to the point that he cuts off his arm. Like, you have to have a whole lot of hope in a future to cut off your own arm. He cuts it off, and he gets out, and he lives. And I believe that he has a son. Later on, he gets married. Maybe he wasn't married, but has a son. But that vision of an optimistic attitude about a future kept him going. And I believe, I don't know for sure, but I believe that was the goodness of God showing him a vision of a son to give him something to get out. Amen. Right? The scripture we read earlier, if you were here, this is the scripture, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now, I could live, like preach off this for days. The God of hope fill you. We're supposed to be full of hope, aren't we? Like, not a little bit of hope. We're supposed to walk around. So you contrast that with what I said about a church that wants to tell everybody that we're going to die. And you're like, well, we have confident hope because we're all going to heaven. Not you, but we are. I have a confident hope that my future is going to be better. I know Claude does. Anybody else? Elaine does. I hope so. You live with them because... I was just telling some young adults the other day, we sat around, had a beautiful moment in our living room, and we just talked, and a question came up about the future and doom and gloom, and I always go back to the story. It means so much to me that Barb Spurza, who was young at the time, I was one of these kids, like a young adult, fearing for my future. And I remember Barb, I was at a friend's, and Barb was across. She lived in the next house, and so she was outside, and we got talking about this. She said, Jay, let me tell you, that used to be me. I used to fear the future, but she said, I got through that, and God showed me a better plan. She says, now I have, I think, 7 kids. And I remember her telling me that, and we were just married or not even married yet, and I thought, oh, I hope I have kids, because in my mind, the world's going to end. Here I am. I have 3 kids, not 7, praise the Lord. I have 3 kids. My 3 kids are at the age that sooner or later, they're gonna have kids. I'm gonna have grandkids down the road. But I could have lived in fear based off of what some people in the church sometimes promote constantly. And here I am, optimistic about my future. I think my kids are too. So filled, we wanna be filled. And then with what? Joy and peace. And I want you to get this line, in believing. Hope and believing and faith are all intertwined. And the next, like, listen to the lineup for the next 3 weeks. We got next week, Claude's gonna tell his story about failures when they happen. We have Bruce on the 17th and his darkest day, and he's gonna share that. And then at the very end, we have Erica and Dorman are gonna share, like, all about struggles and how they got through them and the hope that they have. And they're living in a better situation, right? Future, a better future, better future. Bruce is in a better place, better future. So we want to believe, and then it says that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope in the next 4 weeks at the end, you can go, you know what? I have way more hope than I did when I came in. If your level's here, I hope today you get to hear, but I hope by the end you get to hear. I hope you walk around so full of hope, people think you're crazy. Right? Half the time they do anyway. So, nobody even caught that. Just joking, seeing if you're awake. Karen, thank you for being awake. This is another translation I love. It says, now may the God, the fountain of hope. Isn't that cool to think God is a fountain of hope? Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace. Like, let's be real. How many would love to have uncontainable joy? Oh my gosh, uncontainable joy, and maybe even better, uncontainable peace, right? Uncontainable peace as you trust in him. And then it says, and may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. You radiate, David radiates with hope. That's what we want. All right, so today I want to jump in because they're connected. No parking. How many have ever parked where you shouldn't? Any honest people? We're going to actually do some confession today. All right? I'm sure at some point we all have parked. My kids have a habit, and their friends too. They all park the opposite way on the road when they come to my house. I don't understand why they do that. It's easy, I suppose, right? I don't even know if you can get a ticket for that. But there are places in our lives that we are not supposed to park. I did a video. Anybody see the video? I was right in Essex. I found a lot of places you're not supposed to park in Essex, apparently. And I chose not to park there and did a video. But I've come to realize, even in my own life, as I've been doing this sermon, that we can park in places spiritually that we're not supposed to park. Emotionally that we're not supposed to park. As I got prepared for this and I began to just study it, I thought, gosh, there are several places that I am parked in right now. Funny story about not parking, and we'll jump in. Montreal, I think it was 2017, they had a major storm, and they have signs in Montreal, if it snows, no parking here. Because they have to get the snow plows out. And we're not talking Essex County snow, you know, a dusting and then they close the schools. We're talking snow. So one of these I think it was a gentleman decided that he was going to ignore that, and it was a major blizzard. And the tow trucks had the snowplows had zero mercy on him, and they just plowed, and it kept snowing, and they kept plowing. His car was buried. And they're like, this is on you. Like, we tell you not to park here. So he had to go, and they took a picture of it. I guess it was so funny because he had this little teeny shovel. It took him 4 hours to unbury his car. The humor in it is that when he unburied it, there was a parking ticket frozen on his car for $200. So he had two lessons in that, obviously. He parked where he shouldn't. So I realized that sometimes I park where I shouldn't. And as I was preparing for this, I realized there are three things often that happens. We get offended with people, and we get stuck. Anybody ever have that happen? This is confession time. It's good for the soul. You wonder if God can forgive you, and you get stuck there. But one I want to hone in on today is one that I think, if you're like me, you struggle with. Maybe you can forgive people, that's a little easier. Maybe if it's done to your family, that's harder. But if it's done to you, you can sometimes cross that bridge. You can work through God forgiving you. But how many know that sometimes the hardest person to forgive is you, yourself, right? You make a mistake, you know God forgives you, but you just keep going over it in your mind. Ever play that story over and over, that reel? It's like a video. My son was cutting grass the other day. And he's like, oh, I talk to people all the time in my brain. People I wish I could meet and have a conversation with. I'm not sure if that was good or bad. I think it was very negative. But we do that. We have conversations in our brain. We replay a scenario. We replay the I wish I would have scenario, right? If only I could go back and change what I did. I've done it. I'm in the process of working through some things myself. And this, again, this sermon series makes me realize that I have to work through because I am stuck. And I'm parking in an area that most of the time we're supposed to maybe at best drive through. Even Psalm says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? It doesn't say when I stop and sit there for a while. We're supposed to walk through it, which is really difficult, right? When somebody dies or you have an ailment, you're supposed to continue by faith walking through. But honestly, we get stuck and we park in areas that keep us from moving forward. I just realized I forgot to show you a picture. That's not the picture of the person, but it's funny, right? We parked right in front of a no parking sign. And that's what we often do. We park. So I want to talk about this scripture here. Turn to your Bibles. You can actually join me and turn to, Philippians. Did you see the address? Philippians 3, 12 to 14. I want to talk about two people in the Bible, and as you're flipping to that, you know, we sometimes forget, I sometimes forget, that the men and women in the Bible, although they achieved a lot. We're going to talk about Paul, who wrote good portion of the New Testament. I don't know about you guys, but I often think of them as superheroes, like beyond, more than above. And two stories I want to share with you, this first being Paul, and then we're going to talk about another gentleman, Peter. Have you ever stopped to think, and we have mentioned this before, that Paul, who was Saul before he became Paul, was so zealous for the New Testament God that he was serving and understanding, not knowing Jesus. He knew Jesus as this troublemaker who went to the cross, happened to get rid of him. But he was killing the very people that he would eventually preach to. Like, I try to put myself, like, in my scenarios, in my areas where I park, To me, they're big. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them I'm like, why did I do that? That was so stupid. And I got to move on. But, and maybe for you, it's like a business venture that you went into. And we'll hear Claude next week talk about something like that. Well, maybe it was you went on a trip that you thought would be, you know, you went the cheapest possible and it ended up being a disaster. And you thought about that. Like, we have so many scenarios that you can think of. But in my opinion, none of them come close. Like, I've never killed somebody, and I'm very grateful. Right? And I try to imagine somebody that has accidentally killed somebody to climb over that. How many know you can park there forever? And see, some people do. Some people never climb out of that. And yet some people can get to the point where they feel and know they are so forgiven that they can walk on. Well, we're going to talk about Paul, and he's the one that writes this, who was killing Christians. And not just killing them nicely, torturing them and stoning them and doing horrific things to them, because in his eyes, he thought he was doing well. He thought he was doing right. And I asked myself, how do you get beyond that? How do you find a way to get beyond it? Well, I would imagine Paul had to wrestle through that. Anybody else want to think he had to wrestle through that? I don't think overnight he changed. How many years did he spend on the backside of a desert? Was it 3 or 7? Three years the backside of a desert. I think he was reflecting, learning, and working through all this stuff. Aren't you glad that Paul didn't park in that place? Because if he parked there, we wouldn't have the New Testament. Most of it. And we're going to talk about Peter and how he could have parked. But let's start with Paul. This is what he says. And this is the key that I believe helps us get through. He says, I don't mean to say, I love this. This is Paul, the super giant, the man. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all these things or that I've already reached perfection. So young people, when you read the Bible and you're like, oh my goodness, these people were perfect. Remember this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Does that not give anybody else hope? Because he is saying, hey, I have not reached it. I preach these things because this is where we're headed. But I'll tell you honestly, I haven't reached it. Then he says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want to read it from the top one more time. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize through Christ Jesus is calling us. Forgetting the past. One of the keys that we have to have is literally we have to forget the past. How do you forget? It's impossible. I would say this to myself. I often do. How do I forget what I've done? Here's the key. The key is that we often forgive other people way quicker, like I said, than we forgive ourselves, right? So what do? We live in shame, guilt, self-condemnation. We kick ourselves. You know what a big one is? I don't deserve more. I don't deserve better. I don't deserve new. I don't deserve to remarry. I don't deserve, because why? We're beating ourselves up. We're punishing ourselves. And I'm amazed that I know more and better than this, but I still do it myself. Anybody else want to admit you do too at sometimes? If you don't, that's fantastic. But at times, I bet in your life, you found yourself going, I don't deserve this. And that's the most incredible thing. We talked about hope. Hope is this: Jesus loves us so much that he gives us more than we deserve, expect, all of that. So you got Paul here going, you know what? The only way that I can move forward for all that God has for me is I need to forget the past. I can't dwell on it. I can't think about it. I can't bring it up in conversation. Paul also, a few lines later, says, think on the things that are what? Good, pure, holy. So what Paul had to begin to do is go, no, I know you could bring it up, and I'm sure people did. Like the gentleman that baptizes him, the first person, can you imagine what that was like when he hears Paul's killing people, and now God goes through the Holy Spirit, says, I want you to baptize him. Sorry, Lord. You want Paul, like think about that. You want Paul, the guy that's going around killing people, to come to my house and baptize him? Yes, I do. The risk that he took in that moment, because it could have, what if he wasn't hearing correctly? Like you talk about making mistakes. What if he made a mistake and wasn't hearing correctly? He invites Paul over. Paul's like, oh, great, you're a Christian. Let's go. I want to kill you. He invites Paul over. Paul gets baptized. And from that moment on, he must have had to stop looking backwards so he could look forwards. Even when he would go to places, and I'm sure people would whisper, that's Paul. Paul's going to preach. Like, think about it. We often, I think you were the first one that opened my eyes when you said it, Osama bin Laden when he was alive. Can you imagine if we're like, hey, we have a guest speaker next week. Osama bin Laden's going to be in. He'd be like, you have lost it. It's the same, like you can visualize a person that had that much hatred towards something that he believed. That was Paul. So I'm sure he would go around, people would whisper, and he would have to choose to go, you know what? I put that behind me. And I move forward. Turn to Matthew. I don't have this up on the screen, so you're gonna read it with me. Turn to Matthew 26. We'll start at verse 69. Now, if you've been to church, I think a lot of people in here have. Matthew, stop to think for a second. You know, Paul did not walk with Jesus. He had to learn like we do of Jesus. But Matthew, the disciples, all of them, the 12, they walked with him. They talked with him. John leaned his head on the chest of Jesus, his shoulder. They ate dinner with him. They listened to him over and over again as he preached. Like they were the closest you could be, especially Peter, James, and John. And in Matthew, Jesus had predicted that Peter was going to deny him. And what did he say? No, I'll never deny you. I'll go to death. I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. Just a short time later, starting in verse 69, Matthew 26, it says, meanwhile, Peter was still sitting outside in the courtyard. So at this point, Jesus has been taken away. What did the disciples do when they took him away? Ran in the opposite direction. Have you ever had a friend? Dude, I will be there for you, right? Whatever you go through, I'm there, except for that. I really want to be a church, because we're supposed to be. A group of people that we walk with people through whatever they walk through. If somebody has a heart to get through something, I want to be the people that walk with them. Because we have seen the cancel culture. We talk about it all the time. I talk about it all the time. This culture now where people cancel each other. I'm like, man, you cancel somebody. What does it say about judging? Judge not lest you be judged. So it basically is cancel not lest you be canceled. That's really what it is. Because with the level you cancel people, you will be canceled when it's your turn. Or we could be the church of Jesus Christ, where we have so much hope that we can see people be transformed. Amen? It says, meanwhile, Peter was still outside in the courtyard when a servant girl came up to him. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, by the way. It's not a whole lot different, but at the very end, it kind of brings something to light. It says, I recognize you. The servant girl says this. You were with Jesus, the Galilean. In front of everyone, Peter denied it and said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. walked with Jesus for 3 years and just canceled or basically, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I don't even know what you're talking about. So it goes on. Let me stop. Do you think that it's possible that Jesus puts this stuff that they had, he had them go through it and write it for our sake? Right? I believe that. I believe everything in the Bible, when you read it, it's like, that's for your sake so you can learn from it. I'm so grateful that Matthew, who was himself so messed up before, he was a house of Levi and he was doing what he shouldn't be doing by collecting taxes. He wrote all this stuff and kept it in. I'm so glad they're not like us and go, oh, the family story, let's leave that part out. Uncle Joe, let's not put him in. Everybody knows Uncle Joe. It says, in front of everyone, Peter denied and said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Later, as he stood near the gateway of the courtyard, another servant girl noticed him and said, I know this man as a follower of Jesus the Nazarene. Once again, Peter denied it. With an oath, he said, I tell you, I don't know this man. That was really important. That was an oath. I promise you, I don't know him. Like, somebody does something bad, and you're like, it's funny, right? Everybody on Instagram, like, pictures with the movie star, and that movie star crumbles, and then they all go and delete the pictures. I never hung out with that person. This is what he's doing. I don't know that person. He says, a short time later, those standing nearby approached Peter and said, we know you're one of his disciples. We can tell by your speech. Not interesting. Even, it's not that they had a different dialect, right? It's not like they spoke Irish because they were disciples. And they're like, oh, you speak Irish, so we know you're disciples. There was something in his speech, even though he was denying Jesus, that they're like, you've been around him. We can tell. I think that's fascinating. He says, your Galilean accent gives you away. I believe more was happening with the speech that he was saying. Peter denied it and using profanity, he said, did you get that? Peter denied it and using profanity. Aren't you glad that they were real? Yes. If you're saying yes, I know it's because you never swear. It's all right. She knows where I'm going. We just had this conversation the other day. Can I share it? Whatever. Homeschooling is not the easiest thing to do. Anybody ever homeschool? One day my child said something, swear word, because he was in high school now. I said, oh man, high school is teaching you things you shouldn't know. He's like, Dad, Mom taught me that. I would get calls, Mom swore again, she threw a pencil when they were homeschooling. I'm like, guys, just forgive her. So I'm thankful for moments like this in the Bible that says, I'm not saying that's an excuse to use profanity, right? All the young people, Jay said I could swear. No. My point is, though, that they were real. Like, they were real people going through real moments. Jesus is carried off to, he's going to go and die. And they're looking at this going, I don't know the person. And then he gets so upset because for the third time they ask him, he says, Peter denied it and using profanity, he said, I don't know the man. At that very moment, the sound of a crowing rooster pierced the night. Eesh, because that's what was promised, that you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Then Peter remembered the prophecy of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. With a shattered heart, Peter left the courtyard and sobbing with bitter tears. Like, I don't know if there are two stories. You can even go with a third. You can go with Judas, who sold out Jesus. And that's actually one we can park at because he parked there. He couldn't get out of it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is Peter. I could park there. Like, physically, Jesus is here and I deny him three times. I'm sure I've denied him before. Not like that. But maybe there's a moment where I could have stepped in because somebody needed healing. And I parked in fear. You know, somebody could really use a helping hand. Just they could get prayer parked. Got Peter in that moment. I'm not sure in the story whether it's, you know, after later on, because Jesus rises from the dead and then he's fishing. Really, I believe this is where it happened, where they see Jesus and Peter jumps in and they have fish together. And that's when he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. I think between that moment and this moment of him denying him, I think it says it well in that Passion Translation. Sobbing with bitter tears, Peter with a shattered heart. I think there's a good chance if Jesus didn't show up, Peter would have parked the rest of his life. Because what did he do? Went back fishing. He went back to what he knew. And I don't think he went back excited to fish. He went back going, I denied my best. Like, even if he didn't think he was a savior at that point, I denied my best friend. The one that I said I would never deny. And then he finds out he's resurrected. I really did deny the Savior. And it is so easy to park there and get stuck. But earlier it said, pursuing the high calling, pursuing the things that Jesus has for us. If we get stuck because the enemy pulls something on us, we make a mistake and he beats us up, you could be stuck and miss out on all the things God has for you. And I'm not saying the things as in like, oh, you get a new car. I'm talking about what he has planned for you. You know, you get asked to be on a worship team. No, I can't. You don't know what I've done. You're parking. You've parked. Why don't you be a part of this ministry? Or why don't you do this? No, I can't. You don't know what I've done. You're parked. And I think for all of us in many ways that we can get stuck. And if you find yourself numb to situations, numb to life, I've found myself at times, I'm like, Lord, I'm numb. It's because I've parked somewhere. And right now I'm having to go through some things and go, Lord, how do I walk through this? I want you to turn one more scripture. Nope, I shouldn't say that. It won't be one more scripture. That would be a lie. Turn to, if I can find it. I'm just going to paraphrase. Do you remember when Jesus, they say, how do we pray? So he teaches them the Our Father. What does he say after the Our Father? Anybody remember? He says, forgive those who trespass against you. This isn't in the Our Father. Forgive those who trespass against you so your Father will forgive you. Remember that? How many Christians don't walk by that? Haven't forgiven somebody and they're bitter and it says, forgive those that have trespassed against you so the Lord will forgive you. But let me throw something out there because it says we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I think it's equally as bad to not forgive your neighbor or the one that has hurt you. I think it's equally as bad and wrong to not forgive yourself the same way. If Jesus says you have to forgive your neighbor so I can forgive you, and he wants us to love our neighbor like we love ourselves, if I don't forgive myself, I'm not loving myself. So why do we have the right to forgive ourselves? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Like right there, if you walk around and you think, I don't ever sin, you're deceived. Because all of us fall short of the glory of God. I want to do it one day again, but those that have been the old timers around here, you remember when I did the laid out Carl Lewis's long jump. It was long jump. It wasn't even his triple jump. It was long jump. And I laid it out. I'm not kidding. It's bigger than a bus, how far he jumped. It went way over here. And I use that as an example to say, if we fall short when we jump, how much more do we fall short of the glory of God? Like, I could run and jump, and I'm going to make it to maybe, I'm older now, maybe to here, maybe to here. And I think, he jumped all that way. If I jumped, I would fall short of the glory of Carl Lewis. Thank you. I want to say Lewis Hamilton, different sport. So when we say that we have no sin, when we compare ourselves to God, we will always fall short. But it says, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Huh. We sang it today about being in the Father's house. Awesome, the songs that Becca picked, you know, being in the Father's house. Let's just read a few of these. Like, this song actually was the preach. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. And she had no idea I was preaching this. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over. My story's just begun. Failure won't define me, because that's what my Father does. And then in the chorus, lay your burdens down here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, because it ain't welcome anymore. You're in the Father's house. And the bridge, prodigals come home, the helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the Father is in the room. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Such good lyrics. Why? Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in this room is a plethora of mistakes. Every one of us, because if you didn't, let's go back to the beginning, you deceive yourself. Maybe for you, it was small. Maybe for somebody else, in your mind, it was small. Maybe for somebody else, it was big. You could be in this room thinking about people that you have not talked to for years because of a mistake that they made or a mistake that you made. This ought not be in the church. The list can be endless of things that you are maybe parked at and you're stuck and you can't move forward because of something you've done. And yet it says we are to confess our sins and he is just to forgive them. And then it goes on. That was 1 John. Romans says this, therefore. So if you got the first part, you've confessed your sins, right? You've taken it before the Lord. God, I'm giving this to you. I ask you for forgiveness. I totally blew it. I blew it in your eyes. Maybe nobody else knows, but I blew it. You confess your sin and then it says, having been justified by faith. Remember, we go back to hope. What does it say in believing? Faith and believing go hand in hand. We have peace with God. So the end story of that is if we confess, we leave it all behind, we should have peace with God. And that is the only thing that I can think of that Peter and Paul had the ability to go, I leave it all behind. I confess my sin like he taught us. Now my slate is clean. So when you try to remember, you try to remind me of it, I don't remember it. They had to get to that point. I don't remember. Until Matthew wrote about it. Sorry, Peter, I got to put it in the story because we got to tell the whole story. All right, just one more time, put it in. But they forgot about it. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the future. I have to put those things behind. And we have the ability to do it because Jesus forgives us. And then it says, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith, that's believing again, into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory. So the really tough thing that we have to learn to begin to do, and people will quote this all the time, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Right? you haven't forgiven then. If you can't forget what they did, then you actually truly haven't forgiven them for what they did. Now, you can forgive and have wisdom, right? So if somebody steals $100,000 from you and you forgive them and you forget, in the sense, it doesn't mean that you don't have wisdom. You don't go, hey, do you want another $100,000? No, you have wisdom to go, maybe this isn't the best person to lend to. That's just wisdom. But not forgetting is that every time you see them, you look at them with a bit of anger. Well, I've forgiven you though. I don't think so. I want to get to the point where we can do what it says, putting all things behind. If we have to learn to do that for ourselves, we have to learn to do that for other people too. Because aren't you grateful for the grace of God that when we confess our sins and we bring it back up to him, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you realize that? When you confess, it says that he is farthest from the east to the west. He obliterates it. But we're like, Jesus, don't you remember? I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Bill Johnson that talks about constantly carrying that old man with us and propping him up. Well, I got to tell you about my sins. No, you don't. You were forgiven. If we're going to be people so full of hope, we have to get this. Because if we walk around and I have done it, I'm parked and I can't get out, the only way I can get out is going, Lord, I totally blew it. And I have done that in areas. Lord, forgive me for the sin that I committed. The problem is I'm not forgetting it. That's the problem I find myself in. I feel forgiven, but I kick myself for mistakes that I've made, that I'm not doing what the Bible tells us to. And Jesus is like, you want me to forgive you? You got to forgive yourself of your trespasses. And I want you to bury them, destroy them. I want you to act like it never happened. It's amazing. We're going to take communion together. So if the ushers... Becca, would you mind playing piano? I really do. I'm not trying to just say it because I'm preaching and I should say it. I realize that I parked in my life. I have been parked. Yeah, raise your hand if you need one, please. You don't have to be a part of our church to take communion. Some people, that's churches they go to. We take communion because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because you're a part of our church. It's really good to know Jesus if you're taking communion. You still can, but this is the beautiful part. No, I don't. You have a whole bucket full. Thank you. Just as I was saying, you can bring that down, James, a little bit. I'm kind of amazed the conversation I had with these young people the other day. It was so cool. It's like every 10 minutes, somebody else would come to my door and they'd come in and join this spontaneous time of Bible teaching. That's really cool. I wonder how often the Lord has things for us, but we can't do it. We disqualify ourselves. We feel like we're not allowed. It was Jimmy Swagger that recently died. I don't know a lot, and he's controversial, but what I do know, because he was caught in some things, it was Billy Graham that said, because they said, what does it feel like to be the greatest evangelist alive? And Billy Graham said, I don't know, you should ask Jimmy Swaggart. but he made some mistakes. What I'm grateful of is that he wasn't around during this cancel culture, because he took time to get right and carried on with ministry and led multitudes to the Lord. What if he would have parked in his sin and his unforgiveness of himself? I wonder how many wouldn't have come into the kingdom. You're gonna hear testimonies over the next 3 weeks of people that things happened. I'm so grateful, as I know all three of them, that they didn't park. And sometimes we park for a day, sometimes we park for a week, but sometimes we park for a lifetime. And I don't wanna do that. It's actually unfair for all of us to do that, because if we have a call of God, which we all do on our life, if we park, that means somebody's missing out on what we are called to do. Could have even be, maybe I felt like, if I did this, then I shouldn't have these young people in my room. And what about if we missed that opportunity, a beautiful opportunity to just talk about the gospel? To hear my son at the end of it go, man, I learned so much tonight. Things I didn't know. Talk about a moment you walk away going, that was so cool. We take communion because this is what it's all about. We sang another fantastic song today, The Blood. It says it's never been about performance, perfection, or striving for acceptance. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. It's never been about deserving or earning. It's a gift that's freely given. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. And I love this. Does anybody want to be holy, righteous, purified, and spotless? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Does anybody want to be worthy, forgiven, justified, really living? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we take this today, if you're here and you are parked, today is your moment to go, I don't want to be parked anymore. And you could take this. Maybe you're parked with God because you're angry and you're confused. Maybe you're parked with somebody because they hurt you. Whatever it is, right now in this moment, you can say, Lord, I got to get unparked. I got to get unstuck. I need to move forward. And it's this right here. It's this in remembrance of what he did on the cross. So you can clearly and easily say, Lord, I need to take this to you, this burden, this weight, this heaviness, this overwhelm, this I can't do it on my own. I screwed up. I did what I shouldn't. I did it again. I'm going to give it to you, Lord, right now. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because Jesus knew that Carl Lewis, that we would never equal up. And he said, I got to make a way for him. And this is the only way. It's like you take it and it's like you get Carl Lewis's record. And we never even jumped. It's pretty amazing. Let's just take a second. Go before the Lord. And say, Lord, is there anything where I am stuck? Or if bare minimum, I haven't asked you to forgive me yet of my sins, my shortcomings, my error. But Lord, show me if I'm stuck. Thank you, Lord. As we take the body, little wafer. You know, it's something to remind us that he broke his body for us. He went to the cross. Nails in his hands. so we could be forgiven. But I love it. It's the other one that said, therefore, having been justified, justified is just as I've not done it. So if you truly believe, may the God of hope fill you with peace and joy in believing. As you take this today, it's faith that says, Lord, you did it on the cross, and I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna just drop it. And then it's like you're gonna walk over the line, forgetting those things that are behind me. So Lord, I thank you for the abundant, incredible grace that you give. Lord, I thank you that you broke the body, your body, so we could be forgiven. And Lord, today as we take this in remembrance of you, we're gonna step over things that have kept us parked. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to go and do what only you can do. As I was saying that, it's like four guys coming up to your car and pushing it. It's been stuck for so long. These big guys come and they push it out. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was poured out on the cross for us. Lord, as we receive this, I thank you that you forgive us for our sins. Now would you cleanse us, Father God? And I pray today as we take this that we would put it behind. We'd cross that line and we would be, because the word tells us, justified just if I had not done it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. As we close today, why don't we stand? I think one of the things we often get caught up in is that we think, well, I'm a new creation. I shouldn't make mistakes. That was Paul, who was a new creation, who wrote that. So obviously he's aware that we still fall short at times of the glory. But he said, I press on to perfection, right? He doesn't say, I press on to stay where I'm at. He says, I press on for perfection that Jesus paid for. And I'm gonna keep going until the day I die, because then when I die, I'm gonna be in perfection. But I want to pray this over you. Now, may the God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing. Lord, I ask that today, that you would be filled to overflowing. Every person in this room, Lord, that as we go through this series and even today, Lord, we should be able to walk out of here with a smile on our face and a leap in our step, because we don't have baggage. We don't have baggage, right? Now may the God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. And Lord, I ask for this second part, perfect peace. Because Lord, as we have let go of these things, Lord, I ask even for myself, perfect peace. In believing, Lord, that I believe what you did on the cross has just set me free. It's my choice now what I do with it, but I'm going to put those things behind me. As you trust in him, and I say this, may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with joy. Lord, we want to radiate with joy. Hope. I'll take joy too, though. Radiate with hope, because hope leads to joy and peace. But Father God, Lord, we ask that we'd become a people that would radiate with hope. And Lord, I pray that this message would go so deep into us that we could see the broken, the most broken person that we know, share this message with them and see them truly get a hold of it and put the past behind them and move forward. Because there is a broken world that does not know how, they do not know how to get behind what they've done, or in front of, put those things behind. So Lord, would you fill us with radiant hope in Jesus' name? Amen. Tell somebody, God is good, and I'm so grateful that I can walk out of here lighter.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.